Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to the Indie Business Podcast, where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. For all you indie cosmetics companies out there, Essential Wholesale supplies you with the largest selection of naturally devised cosmetics bases in the world. Get ready for increased sales, especially around the holidays, with more product to offer your customers this season and all year long. Learn more at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, my guest today is Assemblywoman Dr. Amy Handlin, and she is an American Public Party, Republican Party politician who serves in the New Jersey General Assembly, where she represents the 13th Legislative District. Amy Handlin is a former commissioner on the New Jersey State Commission on Higher Education and chair of Monmouth County's Communities Against Tobacco Coalition. She has a wide range of experience in terms of representing her constituents. She has served on the boards of the New Jersey League of Women Voters and the American Association of University Women, among others. She is a past recipient of the Legislative Award of the New Jersey Environmental Federation and the Humanitarian Award of Brandeis University Women. She's got a great deal of experience, of course, as a legislator, meeting with small business owners who have questions and issues and just want to be able to share their concerns with her. And she has authored a brand new book, which is fantastic. It's called Be Your Own Lobbyist, How to Give Your Small Business Big Clout with State and Local Government. And we're going to be talking with her today about how you can do just that. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna Maria, and I'm delighted to be able to talk to you and your listeners.
Well, you know, you bring such a wealth of experience to the table here, and we were actually talking when we were planning the show about how needed this book is. Tell us a little bit about how the idea for this book came to you as a New Jersey state legislator.
Well, I have had 20 years of experience trying to help small businesses in New Jersey deal with the government bureaucracy. And I have seen over and over again how intimidated they feel and how easy it is to make really serious mistakes when they're lobbying. And that is just a disaster because, as I'm sure so many listeners know, government is really a powerful influencer of small business, the regulations, the taxes, all the marketplace restraints. And small businesses are a lot more vulnerable than big corporations, especially to the actions of officials in their own backyard. So you really need that knowledge about how to advocate for yourself, how to get an ordinance changed, how to contest a state law, how to change a regulation. Without it, you can be hurt really badly. And I wrote the book because after trying to help people one-on-one for so long, I realized that the problems and the issues were always the same and that there was an opportunity for me to really put down in one place, to write down in one book between those covers the advice that I had been giving out informally and to help a lot more people in the process.
Well, you certainly have done that with a really well-structured overview of the things that people need to consider. Let's start a little bit by giving our listeners an overview of the system within which we're operating in. And I know the state system sort of mirrors the federal system. So why don't we start with like an overview of the federal system quickly and then an overview of how the state system works from a bird's eye perspective.
Well, basically, there are three branches of government: the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. The executive branch is administrative. At the federal level, of course, that means the federal agencies and the office of the president and so on. On a state level, it means the office of the governor and the state agencies. The judicial system is the courts. And the legislative system is the houses of Congress and the U.S. Senate at the federal level, And in states, in almost every state, I believe there is one exception, and in every other state, there are houses similar to the federal system. In my state, one house is called the Assembly, the other is called the Senate. Other states call them slightly different things. But those two houses work together to develop and vote on legislation just the way the Congress and the Senate do.
And then we move to, is it a municipal and local government level?
Yes, counties and cities and towns and other small entities like villages and boroughs. There are many different government structures on the local level, but for the most part, there will be a mayor or a chief administrator who is in charge of carrying out what would be the equivalent of local laws. And those are passed by a city council or, again, a board that may have a different name. And they are very often called ordinances. So on the state level, you've got laws. On the local level, what you have is ordinances. But the effect on indies, on small business people, is unfortunately the same. And the reality is that many, many small firms are one ordinance away from closing their doors. One unanticipated surcharge can wipe out their profits. A single change in a local zoning code can devalue their property and other assets. So knowing how to influence government on those grassroots level is a survival skill. I mean, of course, it's a smart management strategy, but beyond that, it is a survival skill.
Very well put, and we're well recommended and advised by you in that regard. Tell us a little bit about what you're noticing, if you would, about any interaction between state and federal government officials when it comes to the rules and regulations that impact businesses. And I don't mean to make that too complicated a question, but what I do want to explore just for a second, if you would, is have you noticed any increase in the number of situations where small businesses are impacted, not at the state or the federal or the local level, but really at all three at one time by new legislation? And how do these issues pan out? Do the officials talk with each other before they propose new legislation? Or because what I'm noticing is that sometimes a state will propose something without having any regard at all for perhaps the fact that the industry is already regulated at the federal level. So what are you noticing in that regard? And I'm seeing it happen more frequently these days because or at least it's more prevalently noticed these days because there are so many people who are trying to start and run their own small businesses in large part because of the economy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the answer to your question is not a simple one. And I guess the answer really would be all of the above is happening. Many state regulations are put in place specifically to implement federal laws. So there can be situations where your state legislators agree with a federal policy or a federal law, but they have no choice. They have to put policies in place in order to implement it. So that happens all the time. And then, as you said, the states in many situations have the right to pass regulations or laws that go beyond what already has come down from Washington. So you can end up with the situation you mentioned. Industries are already struggling with a huge burden of federal regulations, and then state regulations hit on top of those. You asked whether the officials at different levels communicate. It depends on the officials. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I like to believe that all of these decisions are carefully evaluated before people cast votes. It doesn't always happen in the most effective or efficient way. On the local level, again, towns, counties, cities have some autonomy. There are some things they can do entirely on their own. An example of that would be in most states, they have complete autonomy when it comes to zoning and land use decisions. But beyond that, they too have to deal with mandates from the state and from Washington. So it is a very complicated situation. Unfortunately, no matter how you look at it, it spells trouble for indies, for small business people who don't know how to fight back when there's some new law or regulation or policy that really hurts them.
And your book really does a fantastic job of sharing that. Let's get into some of that nitty-gritty here next. You talk about target tools
okay.
and tactics.
I guess what I think is most important to share with people is the basic structure of the book, which you mentioned. And what I explain is that advocacy has three building blocks. The three building blocks are target, tools, and tactics. The target means that it's important to identify and connect with exactly the right person who's in the best position to help you. Just like you need to identify the right sales prospect, you need to home in on the right lobbying target. Tools means that you need to select the communication device that's most appropriate in your situation. Every business person knows that different marketing tools are called for in different situations. Sometimes you need to do advertising. Other times you need price discounting. Well, in the same way, you need to know when you should call, when you should send an email, when you need to arrange a personal meeting, and so on. And then tactics is about shaping your message in a way so that it gets attention and it gets serious consideration. The marketplace of ideas, the lobbying marketplace, is very competitive. And to break through, you need to craft a compelling message that's in tune with what your target official cares about and understands what's going to be relevant to him or her. So that kind of sums up those three building blocks. And then, of course, the book goes from there.
Right, and what we have, we don't have a whole lot of time, but we're going to try to at least cover some of the details associated with each one of those. Starting with target, you talk about a couple things. Two of them I want to hit on here, relationships and coalition building. Can you share a little bit about that?
Relationships are so important because even in a wired world, there's nothing like looking someone in the eye and getting a sense of what he or she is like as that person does the same with you. And
Dr. Hanlon? Okay, everyone, I think what may have happened here is she's on a cell phone, and I think it may have cut out. So we're going to give her a minute or so to call back in and get back in here, but I'm going to share with you a little bit about what I know the book says, and that is that relationships are so important. And, you know, it's a good idea to not wait until you need a relationship before you develop it. And so that's why it's important to maybe go to some town meetings, maybe receptions for legislators and local officials in your area. Give them your business card. Let them know who you are and that you're concerned about some of the things that they're doing. Let them also know, Amy's book talks about how important it is to let them know that you are available to help them in any way that you can. And I think we have Amy back on.
Hi, Donna Marie. I got lost in cyberspace somewhere.
That's okay. I was just sharing with them a little bit about the importance of not waiting until you need the relationship to actually develop it.
Right, because then when you have a problem, you know exactly whose door to knock on, and you won't be dealing with strangers. You'll be dealing with friendly faces, and that can make a huge difference.
Right, and so then what about coalition building? What is that the grassroots? You mentioned grassroots at the beginning of the show.
Well, it is, and a simpler way of describing it in a lobbying context is just that you should get to know other business people who share your problems and are worried about the same issues, because two voices are louder than one, three, or even better. And when you work together, you can come up with really creative approaches for influencing your officials.
Very good advice. And, of course, a lot of our listeners have some experience with this because we've been dealing with some legislative issues as well for small business owners that I work with through IBN. So that's really good advice for us to remember as well. Now let's talk for a second, if we could, Amy, about tools. You talk about email, snail mail. There are so many different ways to be in touch. Do we have to know what each individual legislator prefers?
Well, it's great if you can find out, but you can't always find out. And so there have to be some more general guidelines. And I go through some of those in my book, but I'll just throw out a couple of simple ones. The time to use the phone is when a matter is urgent, because even though most of us, because we spend so much time online, would be inclined to send an email whenever we have an issue, if a vote is going to be cast on Monday afternoon, you can't rely on someone reading your email Monday morning. So whenever time is of the essence, pick up a phone, call. And if you don't reach a live person, give a brief overview of your issue and ask for someone to get back to you. So that would be an example of where phone would be preferable. But in a lot of other cases, if you need to show someone something or give them material that is complex and not easy to convey in a brief email, set up a personal meeting. Talk to them face to face. Get to know them a little bit. That accomplishes two things at once. You have the best possible opportunity to educate them about your concerns, and you do that relationship building. There are other ways to approach officials. If you're comfortable doing it, preparing testimony for a public meeting, it can be tremendously impactful. But the best thing of all is to combine a number of those different communication approaches, because different officials in government react very differently to the various kinds of communications, based on their personalities and for other reasons. So you know what the bottom line is? Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Good advice, not putting all your eggs in one basket. And this is another reason, is it not, to make sure that you're connected with other people, because it's easy for you to divide all this work up if you have a number of people doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I hope that our listeners won't get the idea that this is a project that is going to be overwhelming and, you know, consume their lives for weeks and weeks. That's not the case. Yes, it takes time and effort. But with a very reasonable investment of time and energy, you can get heard and you can get taken seriously. And also, you develop lobbying skills and you establish relationships that make lobbying easier every time you do it. So if you can run a business, you can lobby and you can get results. I guarantee that.
You know what it makes me think about is it's like a lot of people, like, they'll go on a diet and think the diet's over. Okay, great. But what you're talking about is incorporating a sort of a lifestyle of relationship building into your business so that it's a part of what you do and not something that brings everything to a screeching halt when it becomes important.
That's a great way to put it. Yep, that's a great way to put it. You're absolutely right. It's relationship building and network building in much the same way that you do it with your customers and your colleagues.
Can we talk for a second about the media here when we talk about tools? Can small business owners and indies consider the media to be a tool that they can use wisely to propose and urge their positions?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say that you can go to the media in every situation, possibly not even in the majority of situations, but when there is broad interest in your concern, when it's not just you, but it affects all the business owners in your town or in your region, by all means, use some of the techniques that I write about to build relationships with media folks as well. Again, we're back to building relationships. when they know who you are and they realize that you're trustworthy, you give them good information and you're responsive, then they can be an enormously effective means of magnifying your voice and your message.
And so, like pulling an example out of the air, if they're about to shut down the corner where your street is on to do road work, but where your business is on to do road work, but your business is the only one that's affected, that may be an example of something that might not get the media's attention, whereas if they're shutting the whole street down and dozens of businesses are affected, then you have more of a chance of getting a media attention on that issue through traditional tools.
That's a perfect example, and I urge people to look around them and become familiar with the media that are most influential in their areas. I know a lot of business folks don't have the time to read a newspaper every day, but if you don't, you know, maybe you listen to a popular talk radio station, or you pay attention to local blogs, community blogs, or government watchdog blogs. You know, any of those are potential media angles for you to use. So, you know, again, just keep an eye on those things so that when you need them, you know where to go.
And, Amy, have you noticed anything in the Department of Social Media? Is that something that you see as becoming more and more significant when we talk about these issues?
It clearly will become more significant in the world of lobbying, just as it is becoming more significant in the world of business. I would say that right now it is low on the list of what works for a variety of reasons. Again, that will change, but I would not advise people to do their lobbying primarily on Facebook, for example. or to assume that sending tweets to officials is going to get them results, because in my experience, it won't. Maybe, you know, if we have this conversation 5 years from now, the situation will change. But for now, I recommend stick with the tried and true, primarily email, telephone, personal meetings, or public testimony.
Great. Great tips there. And so finally, let's talk about tactics. What are some of the tactics that we can use to successfully approach our legislators and policymakers?
The single most important one is try to get a handle on what matters to your target official and show how helping you will help him or her. Because if they can see your business issue as a way to improve the economic health of the community or get attention within a voter group that, you know, that they're not familiar with, they're going to be a lot more receptive than if you come to them to something which they view as completely out of left field. So, you know, that the idea of message development brings us right back to the beginning, which is target, you know, do your research, learn a little bit about these people, who they are, what they care about, how they voted before you can approach them so you can develop a message that really resonates with them.
And, you know, this is a really interesting point because most of us go into this with the idea that our position is correct and we have, you know, some reasons why it's not a good thing to, for example, regulate a small business in this particular way. And that may be logical, but what you're saying to some extent is appealing on some level to their emotion. That is, if you understand my position and vote along the lines of what I'm suggesting, then it will demonstrate that you have added value to the community, that your position as an elected official has made it better today in our community than it was last year or something along those lines.
Yes, to the extent that's possible, that is enormously powerful. What you're doing is you're showing that you understand what's important to the official and that your views are in sync with his. And as I'm sure you know and all the listeners know, you know, when you can get someone to share your perspective. If you've got them as an ally, if they believe that, you know, that what you want is antithetical to everything they believe in, you've got problems. So yes, it's an approach. It's a way of framing a message.
And that's a really good point to think about, because right now, of course, we're approaching an election, where we're almost always seem to be approaching an election in this country of some sort. But one of the polls that always comes out over and over again during election time is polls where they ask people, are you better off today than you were a couple of years ago as a result of this person being in office? So it reflects the importance of what you're describing, because it's like taking the temperature of their position in their elected space.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's
Donna Maria?
Really good point to think about. Yeah.
I thought I lost you. Sorry.
No, I'm still here. This is such great information. And, again, I encourage you to pick up a copy of Be Your Own Lobbyist, How to Give Your Small Business Big Clout with State and Local Government. It's authored by our guest today, Assemblywoman Dr. Amy Handlin out of New Jersey, sharing some really great tips here. So we've got our target, we've got our tools, and we got some fantastic tactics here. Now, after we've gotten a meeting, what briefly should we do to follow up?
Well, first of all, you should follow up. Keeping that in mind is the single most important thing. How you do it is of secondary importance. The prime thing is to remember just to do it. And the best way to follow up is by writing down the points of agreement, the points of disagreement, and next steps that were agreed to. Again, put them in writing, send them off in an email, and you know, then follow up beyond that. If one of the next steps was that the official was supposed to investigate your problem or find you a document, whatever the case may be, make sure that official knows you're going to keep after them. You understand they're busy, but you're busy too, and you expect them to deliver on their promises. And 99.5% of officials appreciate that and understand why you're doing it, and they will never think you're a pest. They'll just think that, you know, you're a very professional lobbyist, and that's what you want to be.
And outside of not following up, as you described, what is like one other thing that we want to avoid at all costs when we're setting up one of these meetings or actually in one?
Yelling and screaming. That will never get you anything but enemies. You will never succeed in scaring a result out of a government official. And unfortunately, I've seen that happen many, many times. Your message is not more persuasive because it's loud. So before you have an encounter with an official, whether it is in person or over the phone, or when you're sending an email, sit down. Calm yourself, no matter how angry you may be. I mean, you may be angry for a very legitimate reason, but you don't want revenge. You want results. So, you know, calm yourself down. Count to 10, count to 20 if you have to. Just go in to your encounter prepared to speak dispassionately, quietly, calmly, and professionally.
That's a really good quote to end today on. You don't want revenge, you want results. And I think it's certainly important for us to remember that, because small businesses are so frequently on places like Facebook and email. It's so easy to dust off one of those angry messages and not be able to get it back. So we definitely don't want to do that. Oh,
exactly.
Wow. Assemblywoman Dr. Handlin, thank you so much for joining us today. The author of Be Your Own Lobbyist, How to Give Your Small Business Big Clout with State and Local Government. I'll be putting a link where you can purchase this book when it's available. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got coming up next week, October 25th, Dr. Joanne Cantor, author of Conquer Cyber Overload. She's going to tell us how we can handle are navigating cyberspace but actually still getting stuff done. That's next week, October 25th, right here on Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.